You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And holy moly, I'm J Clone 100.
Speaking of which, the J Holy Moly shirt is available at cryptidsofcorn.com for purchase.
I'm looking at it for the first time.
I love it. I love how wall-eyed you are.
It's very accurate.
JB, thank you for making shirts for us because they are awesome.
We like them. I like the cartoon versions of us.
Yeah. You have a very wide variety of cartoon versions, and I think mine stayed pretty similar throughout the whole thing.
Well, I got many clones.
Yeah, you could tell.
They're just oddly different.
Between Buff Jay and...
Oh, that's my favorite one.
That one's my favorite one.
This one's pretty good, but Buff Jay. That's the Blob one's pretty good, too.
Oh, the amorphous flying blob.
Yeah.
Formerly known as Jay.
It's got the hair flap.
They're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Rocket and rolling. Jamboree's coming out.
October 4th.
Get your tickets.
Yep. We'll be speaking in the family room if you want to come see us talk at our own festival. We're looking forward to it. We got great speakers lined up, great activities lined up. We're just really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yes.
Also, it's been formally announced that we are speakers at Squonkapalooza
and
the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival.
Woohoo!
So come out to either of those. It's going to be a fun time.
Both of those take place in August.
Yeah, it's the first weekend of August is Squonk, and the second weekend of August is
Hocking Hills. Back to back.
And only 3 days apart for us.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because we have to be there at Thursday.
Thursday. Okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's only 3 days.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Wow. Math.
Martha.
Lights.
You guys will find out about that.
Later this week, yeah.
No, we're going to talk about...
As well as a glue hole on Friday.
If you listen to Freaky Fauna Friday, you'll learn about a glue hole that does or does not exist. I cannot confirm or deny that I'm waking. We're going to talk about the nameless thing of Berkeley Square.
Berkeley. Where's Berkeley? California?
No.
Berkeley. I don't know where Berkeley is.
London.
Oh, okay. I knew that. I'm an idiot. That was dumb. Okay, Berkeley. All right, the nameless thing?
Yes, of Berkeley Square.
Okay.
The whole very bizarre. So do you know anything about, before I start reading, you know anything about
no.
the nameless entity of Berkeley Square?
Not at all.
This is one, I think there is a horror movie or two kind of based on this.
Okay.
But never one directly based on it. And I think it would be amazing if there was. Hmm. The whole very bizarre series of events began first and foremost with a place called Berkeley Square, which lies in Mayfair, central London. It was originally laid out in the mid-18th century by famed architect William Kent. It would go to become on a place of wealth to reside, a symbol of just, you know, wealth masquerade around an area in the living with many rich, famous, and influential figures such as George Canning, Winston Churchill, himself stayed there for many years. Hmm. Yet this place of wealth and eminence would go on to occur a rather sinister reputation as a haunt of something beyond our understanding. It began with a house number 50, a single four-story brick townhouse, right in the middle of the square.
Okay.
So far, what are you thinking?
What this nameless thing could be?
Yeah, yeah. So it's it was built to be an area for wealth to live.
Yeah.
Some very prominent figures live there.
Right.
And there's some kind of monster.
Stayed there. So, in this square. I have no idea yet.
Well, it's undescribable.
Jimmy Savile?
Although there have been rumors of something strange going on in the dwelling since it was erected, our story truly takes off in 1840 when a 20-year-old Sir Robert Warboys, that's how it's spelled. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's literally spelled War Boys.
Well, that's probably it then.
Was supposed at his local watering hole one evening and turned to Berkeley Square 50, so the house. It was rumored to be haunted by some sort of ghost or demon.
Some nameless thing.
The somewhat inhabited or inebriated War Boy thought the story was a bunch of poppycock and felt to let everyone know as much, completely dismissing any tales of ghost, ghouls, or demons.
Right. It just sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook. So
War Boy is hammered.
Yeah.
And he's...
There you go. Do your best impression of him.
I can't anymore. 80 days sober as of today of recording.
Well, correct.
Thank you. Oh, gosh. Well, now it's not as...
No, do your, you know...
I don't remember how to be inebriated.
Your drunk British accent. You remember it's London.
I remember the word I yelled in a drunk British accent, but...
Huh?
Brian, I yelled it a lot at you and Brian.
Well, it's not right, British.
Just the way I was yelling it.
But just to reenact this, guys.
A bunch of poppycock.
Okay, there you go.
Is that good?
Not bad.
All right. Sorry, all of our British listeners, because I know that's not what anybody sounds like, besides probably one guy that has an alcohol problem.
He nailed him.
His fellow bar patrons had dared War Boys to stay in the accursed place, telling him if he really disbelieved that the place was haunted so much, he would agree to spend the night in the building's most cursed and haunted area, the second floor.
Ooh.
So they're saying, yeah, if you're so big and manly then, and it's all poppycock, you go stand in the worst place. Would you do? Would you do it? Would you let your hubris lead you into a haunted house?
If I didn't believe them, yeah, for sure.
So War Boys then immediately accepted. And that night, he trudged over to the house and arranged accommodations with the landlord to stay in the designated room. The landlord himself seemed to be quite sure that it was a bad idea to stay there. Mm. And apparently highly recommended him keeping a pistol in his hand throughout the whole ordeal.
Mm.
Also insisted on rigging a makeshift line attached to a bell so if the foolhardy young man could signal for help if he saw anything out of the ordinary.
Okay.
So this landlord the whole time is just like, you shouldn't do this. What? And he's like, I really want to. Here's some money. All right. But if you do this, you got to have a pistol in your hand all night. And we're going to rig a bell to a string. So if something bad happens, I can run up here and try to help you.
Yeah. Hmm. Sounds sus.
So, yeah, would you think that that's just a guy building into the story? Or would kind you think of, that that guy is really, like, adamant?
No, it sounds like he's building into the story to me.
All right. Well, I know the story, so
right.
I feel the opposite, but I'm privy to details.
Right. I'm sticking to my gut.
So, still highly skeptical, War Boys settled down in their room in the night without much of all of this superstitious talk. It was not even an hour later, just after midnight, that the landlord's jury-rigged bell started to ring incessantly, waking him from his sleep. So the landlord's sleeping downstairs, next building over.
Right.
Has like a bell hooked up to a string, and the bell's going nuts.
Like they used to do when they'd bury people.
Yeah.
They tie that string to their finger.
Yeah, so the bell's going nuts.
Okay.
That's what working the grave shift came from.
What?
Because somebody would have to stand out there in the graveyard all night and listen for bells.
Listen for bells. You heard one ringing.
Oh, I would be very, you know, try to dig them up quick.
Well, yeah, but gosh. There's somebody buried under the ground, like being tortured, basically.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose, but.
It happens.
It happens.
I've been buried alive twice.
Have you?
No.
Let me say. No, I'd never been.
It's my greatest fear is being trapped underground.
Yeah, that would really suck.
I don't go into caves.
You have to do the Kill Bill escape from a coffin, 1-inch punch.
I don't think I could because I don't think I could, my body would fit anywhere Kill Bill fit.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, Uma Thurman. You might be able to fit between her eyes.
The landlord got out of bed and was thinking about what next to do when a single shot from a pistol echoed through the building from the second floor.
Okay.
So he landlord hops up out of bed and hears the bell. He's like, all right, I got to go help this guy. Boom. Here's the pistol fire.
Fire goes off.
Yep. Like, oh. So that was enough to spur him into action as he rushed up the stairs to see what was wrong with his patron, the whole way expecting the worst. Just expecting this guy to be dead.
Dead, yeah.
When he arrives at the room, he forced his way in and found that it was mostly the way it had been, save for the boy or the body of War Boys sloshed down in the corner.
Okay.
So he gets in the room. He has to push the door open.
Right.
Most of the room is pretty much how he left it. But War Boy is laying like hunched over in the corner.
Okay.
The pistol still gripped tightly in his hand. The closer he closely looked at the fallen man showed that he seemed to be dead and that his pale, lifeless face was twisted and contorted into a grimace of terror, lips drawn back and his eyes bulging out as if he had seen something that had literally scared him to death.
Whoa. Scared to death. I forget who posed the question. I think it was Stephen Wright posed. What happens if you get scared half to death twice?
You die.
Or are you only a quarter alive?
No, you just die.
Hmm.
It's like a whole health bar. It's not...
Right.
It doesn't count how much health you have left. It's just...
But if you get scared half to death once, it's half your life, right?
It's 50% of your total life force.
But if you get... It's okay. Now, if you get scared half again...
It's your total life force. Even though you've been knocked down.
I don't know.
Across from the corpse was a single bullet hole in the wall, but any intruder or would-be apparition that had scared War Boy to death, there was no sign of, nor was there any trace of what the dead man had frantically fired at.
Mm.
There's a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Hmm. It's a trick. What's the word? Like a trick house, like where what's the name of that? Like
I have no idea.
Like where there's booby traps everywhere. Like that one house that guy built that just led stairs to nowhere and
not a guy, it was a gal.
Gal.
The Winchester House.
Winchester House. But what's that? What would that be called? I mean,
it's a mystery house. The Winchester Mystery House.
So it's a mystery house with trap doors and stuff, and they got people they hired like murder and torture people for on the elite's entertainment benefit, and he was trying to sleep and someone snuck in through one of the trap doors and he tried shooting them, didn't get them, and they killed him.
The legend of the evil place would only grow from there, with others reportedly seeing some sort of entity on the premises over the years, which varied in description from an amorphous blob of mist to a collection of living shadows.
Okay.
To a humanoid from the shadow, like a shadowy man type thing.
Yeah.
To a slimy ooze with claws and even tentacles that made a slopping, slurping noise as it traveled.
Ugh.
Just ooh.
Yeah.
Whatever it was also appeared to have the ability to drive whoever saw it absolutely mad as if they gazed upon it long enough. Such was the case with a maid but allegedly gone into the residence to clean and had later found stark raving insane in one of the rooms.
So she went nuts?
She went nuts, was screaming and was like pounding into the corner of the room.
Yeah.
Like her brain was fried.
Okay.
Whatever one of these entities were.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Odd and weird. I don't know. There's more to the story. I need to know.
In another case, a nobleman reportedly spent the night there and found the next day deliberately drooling basket case. So he spent the night in one of the rooms. When he got there, he couldn't even talk. He was like murmuring to himself, drooling. Mm-hmm. Like he went completely insane.
Okay.
His maid shattered, but also by some unforeseen forces.
Okay. Hmm. Gas leak.
Similar to War Boys, another young man by the name of Lord Lettern decided to try and brave the stay at night in the attic of the residence in 1859. There, he supposedly encountered a strange apparition with tentacles, kind of like an octopus, but not quite.
Okay.
That's the best description.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's anything with tentacles.
Yeah. Which he had fired upon with his rifle. When he went to see if he had killed it, he found nothing there. Just bullet holes and shells from the gun.
Right.
This particular description would become common in many reports of the thing. It looks some sort of globular phantom octopus. Although the twisted, deformed features, which would leave its various trails of stinking ooze in its wake.
Yum.
Like a big slug.
Yummy.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So halfway between Slimer from Ghostbusters and an octopus.
Fair. I can see that because he left that.
Sludge.
Ugh, yeah.
Whatever it was, in 1870, a man, or W.E. Holt, would write of his sinister place in the unearthly inhabitants. The mystery of Baker Square still remains a mystery. The story of the haunted house in Mayfair could be recapped in few words. The house contained at least one room in which the atmosphere of supernatural fatal to the body and mind. A girl saw, heard, and felt such horrors that she went mad and never recovered sanity enough to tell how or why.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Okay. Just checking.
Well, I mean, okay, so things happen on the second story, it sounds like, more so.
The whole house has weird stuff happen from basement to attic.
Right.
But the second floor is the one of the rooms is horrible.
But then the attic, they found that thing in it, or allegedly seen that thing.
Yeah, there's, I'll tell you, as we continue, every room in this house has had something happen.
Okay.
There's not one place where the thing avoids.
Gotcha.
It just seems like the second floor, if you really want something bad to happen. That's where you go.
Okay.
A gentleman that is a disbeliever in ghosts dared to sleep in number 50 and was found as a corpse in the middle of a floor after frantically ringing the bell for help in vain.
Hmm.
Another guy was found dead, laying in, like, running, like he died mid-stride.
Wow.
After he'd rung the bell for the landlord to come up.
This landlord, you'd think he'd have his room a little bit closer.
No, he doesn't live in the building.
But he lives right beside it?
Yeah. He lives in the next building over. He doesn't want to stay there.
You're right. But if you have all these deaths on your property, it's like, well, maybe.
Rumors suggest that other causes of the same kind, all ending in death, madness, or both, result of sleep or trying to sleep in the room. The very party walls of the house, they, when touched, are found structured with electric horror. It is the uninhabited, saved by an elderly man and his wife who act as the caretakers. But even these have no access to the rooms.
Okay.
This is kept locked, the keys being in the hands of the mysterious and seemingly nameless person who comes to the house once every 6 months, locks up the elderly couple in the basement, and then unlocks the room that occupied himself in for hours.
That's weird. That's odd behavior.
Yeah, so the guy, we don't know who owns this property, but the caretakers live in one of the, like, live downstairs. They don't have a key to this mysterious room. But every 6 months, the guy comes home, locks them in the basement, locks himself in that room for hours, then he comes out and lets them out.
Okay, this is weird.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's odd behavior.
Interesting. It is worth noting that although the place was located in one of the most affluent areas in London, it would often be abandoned for long stretches of time, sometimes for years on end. In 1887, has perhaps one of the better-known incidents of the 50 Berkeley Square, where two sailors, and this is the one everybody talks about.
Okay.
When two sailors by the names of Robert Martin and Edward Bolden were enjoying some R&R in London as their ship, the Penelope, was docked there. During their stay, they ended up roaming up to 50 Baker Square, staying in exactly the same room as War Boys had died in. But there's tons of versions of the story, whether they were hammered or sober, or there was a third person involved.
Right.
There's dozens of versions of this story.
Okay.
There was allegedly awoke just after midnight by something moving in the room, creating a wet sloshing noise that caused the wooden floorboards to creak and groan. So something wet and heavy.
Yeah, sounds nice.
When Bolden tried to investigate who the apparent trespasser could have been, he reported came across an amorphous pulsating mass of gray blocking his way, which according to his report had leapt to attack him even as Martin had woke up to join him. Upon seeing his friend fall to the ground, the thing attached to his throat. Martin supposedly ran out of the building and flagged down a police officer. Yet when he arrived just a few minutes later, the room seemed to be completely empty and there was no sign of where Bolden had gone.
So he had just ran out of the room instead of like helping?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Not a brave man.
No, no.
But he basically, this thing was like, this gray mass was blocking the way.
Yeah.
Then leapt onto him.
On his throat.
Yeah.
Instead of like, okay, I'm going to grab this blanket and rip it off your throat, I'm going to turn and run and hopefully somebody else can help.
Mm-hmm. Depending on the source, the policeman and Martin had eventually found the missing man either mauled or completely dismembered in the basement.
Jeez. Was this before or after UK had was not allowed to have guns?
Let me finish the sentence.
Okay.
Because there's, so either mauled or dismembered in the basement, or had been found dead on the street, having appeared to jump out the window to escape the mysterious assassin.
Oh, okay. So two different versions.
Three different versions, okay. He was either found, the cops and him found him mauled.
Right.
Or they found him dismembered in the basement.
Oh, okay.
Or when they ran back, he had jumped out the window or was thrown out the window and was dead on the street.
I thought the first two was the same thing.
You can find sources for all of this.
Gotcha.
Newspaper clippings and everything.
Okay.
I don't know when UK banned guns. I have no idea. Okay. But most of these, like a lot of these early stories have pistols and have handguns and shotguns and rifles.
True.
So I'm going to guess it was before they banned that kind of stuff. Yeah. So in both versions, the body was found with the face contorted in terror and lesions on the throat. So there's more to that one where basically, depending on which version, his friend was like, they accused his friend of murdering him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's another version where there's a third person and that he had got up, the other one had gotten up to pee.
Mm.
And when he came back, the other guy was murdering his friend.
Oh, jeez.
There's all kinds of versions of this story.
Jeez, yeah. That'd be probably the worst one.
Bolden just died.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's kind of through and through. Sightings and incidents were rather common for the building as one as well, in particular the notorious second floor. And it went on until the 1930s when Ed Meigs turned the place into a bookshop and antique shop called Meigs Brothers, which remained open until 2015.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, when Meigs moved in, he locked the places on the second floor, had totally been off limits, with whatever was up there had gone on pacing about and waiting for victims that would never come. So when he bought the place, he knew the legends. He completely just locked down the second floor.
Yeah.
Four-story building plus a basement, completely locked down the second floor, and he could hear the thing pacing.
Yeah.
Whatever this monster entity's apparition was.
Right.
But it was pretty, you had to go in there to initiate whatever would come next. So it had calmed down a little bit.
Okay.
So he locked down. Although there had been no new spooky incidents, the building had never really lost its ominous reputation and is still widely toured as one of the most haunted places in London. It's on pretty much every big ghost tour in London. You'll pass the Berkeley Square.
Well, I mean, you get everywhere in London and
it's like all bodies.
2 hours or whatever.
It's all bodies.
All bodies.
Remember, like, because how many people have died in London? And they crack a wall and 8 skulls fall out.
Yeah.
Because it's old. People lived there a long time.
Forever.
Or stacked on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many theories of what has gone on in the so-called place. So that's a lot of the hauntings. So before we continue, we'll get into the theories and stuff like that. We'll take our ad break.
Yeah, I'm a little hungry.
You're a little hungry? Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you really sure?
100%.
How sure?
About this sure. Welcome to the latest episode of Cooking with J-Clone 77. And today I'm joined by a special guest, the Veggie Man. Say hello, Veggie Man. So you've got a special treat for us today. You're going to be cooking a new veggie dish, a vegan dish for us today. And what do you got on the menu? Ooh, artichoke asparagus spread, eh? Now, I don't particularly like this, but I'm going to go on a limb and give it a try. Oh my goodness. It's delicious. What's the secret ingredient? Flavors of the forest Bigfoot breath? Raw garlic dust? Wow. They freeze dry the highest quality of ingredients raw to capture the flavor you won't find in stores? Wow. Thank you, Veggie Man. I'm going to add this to my kitchen. That's Bigfoot breath by Flavors of the Forest. You can get yours at flavorsforest.com, and you can cook flavorsforest.com/corn, and you can cook just like the Veggie Man.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Also, make sure you want to take your kid fishing, you want to get him involved in the outdoors. Join the Junior Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio.
And the Future Anglers.
What'd I say?
Junior Anglers.
Oh, Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio.
Yes.
But yeah, join them. If you want to donate stuff, all the links are below for them. Great organization. They do a lot of work for kids. Not just fishing, but that's a big focus.
Right.
They were just out doing a trout derby, I think, this past weekend as of recording this.
Oh, nice.
So they have a lot of fun.
Oh,
it's a good thing to get your kids out and do.
Yep. Get them outside. Get them some fishing gear. Get them fishing.
So, you ready?
Yeah.
There, like I said, there have been many theories of what the so-called nameless thing of Berkeley Square could be. One of them is just particular intense haunting. Indeed, the building's history would fit that nicely. There are legends of a little girl that was once murdered there by a servant and another by a previous tenant. A young woman had committed suicide by jumping off the top window after being physically abused by her uncle.
Oh. That's not good.
It's much worse than that. That is just all I'm going to say.
Gotcha. Okay.
Uncle did very bad things to her, and she committed suicide. Another tenant known as Mr. Mayers was a recluse hermit who apparently went insane and died in the house. So there is just tons and tons of
death.
Reported. You can find these deaths that happened at 50 Baker Square.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from little girl to a servant to...
to war boys.
Before the monster, I'm talking about when this is a tenant building.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So there's tons and tons of deaths, horrible deaths, not just dying in peace and nothing like that.
Right. Yeah.
So there's always that chance that this is just an actual intense haunting that whatever happens, I'm a big believer that human souls don't get stuck here, but not saying that whatever ghosts are something different.
Yeah.
Whether they feed off of like negative energies or the horror created in places. This place has enough history that it should be haunted.
Right, yeah. Enough history and enough death.
There's a lot of death here. What do you think of that?
I mean, if we could play a role. I mean, just to recap real fast, it's people are seeing this amorphous blob thing, mm-hmm. octopus. What'd you say? Octopus mixed with what? You said earlier.
I have no idea.
I can't remember what you said now, but it was good. But they're seeing this thing. They're hearing it. And they're shooting at it even, but there's no evidence, physical evidence of it even being there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. I mean, still, and then associate that with a lot of history in this horrible building.
With a creature. And when I say octopus, I mean roughly.
Oh, right.
Because there's some of the depictions of some of the eyewitness sketches of this thing are tentacled, but like they have claws and pinchers and these like kind of cephalopoidy in nature, but not really.
Okay.
There's a lot of extra, a lot of extra stuff. There's also an idea that this is a demon here, that the house serves as some sort of doorway between dimensions, though, which a strange entity ventures through. So let's talk about that one. This is a demon that resides in here. So one of the original owners was doing extremely weird. I seen everything where people were claiming rituals, like every 6 months.
Ah, great.
Crowley types get lumped into this, some of the old occult types.
Yeah.
Where this could be either a byproduct of dark magic rituals.
Okay.
Like these are, think of, if dark magic creates a wound on an area, these may be the bacteria that fester.
Yeah.
That they're just these horrible entities. That could be why there's several of them. Some are big, some are little. They have different looks to them. There's real evil happening in the house.
Right.
And these are maybe not full-blown demons, but something of that realm that feeds on all of that darkness.
Maybe it's just the, yeah, I don't know. Maybe what you interpret as a demon is just that.
The other side of it is something that happened with my haunted house.
Okay.
Where there was dark rituals happening.
Yeah.
They put guard dogs in place. What if this is a dark ritual guard dog?
Well, why is it? Well, what's it guarding, I guess? I mean,
so if there's like dark rituals, so if there's a whatever the occult nature that the guy was doing every 6 months or so often, it would be put in place to keep that from first off being discovered. And if he's hiding stuff from other people practicing or people with knowledge of that.
Gotcha.
So not just the normal. So when I talk about the entity that in our haunted house, I wouldn't say it was extremely intelligent or anything like that. How I kind of put it is a big mean dog on a chain.
Yeah.
And the chain was just extended to the house.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it did not care who or what was coming into the house.
As long as you were in its range.
It was going to attack.
Yeah.
So it could be one of those entities where it's basically nailed down to this location to protect whatever. And it's not protecting it out of the goodness of its heart for its master.
Right. Like it's just what's...
It's just angry. It's a big,
his job.
It's something. A monster.
Yeah.
Like in the true sense of the word monster, it's a monster. And it will attack in you know, anything that comes in.
Yeah, I mean, that could be what it's ordered to do or programmed to do.
What do you think of those?
What, those options?
Yeah, there's that kind of thought pattern.
I mean, I can't discount it, especially with the dark ritual. And that you're opening up portals to different worlds that are just dark and evil.
And there is so much with that guy that would come every 6 months and lock the couple, the caretakers away, where it's unverified or he said, she said kind of thing where I don't know if it's really happening or not.
It's probably tax evasion.
Tax evasion every 6 months for one night.
He has to come in, rework all the stuff, change all the meters, roll everything back.
That was an Always Sunny in Philadelphia skit.
What's that?
Frank had an office somewhere in Ireland.
Okay.
That he was housing all of his, like, so he was running all these sham companies and like scheming and all this. All the documents are in this office, and they had to burn them and shred them.
Okay.
But, like, he was the main coke, like, pop provider for Epstein's Island, and he'd been to the island a whole bunch of times. And it just was, they always, like, it was one of the more recent, like, episodes, obviously.
Yeah.
But, so he's just shredding all these documents that just say Epstein's Island on them, like this huge box that says Epstein's Island.
That's pretty funny.
So just like, there's like that. It's happening here.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he was an American, they had to go to Ireland
right, to
do that. This is another American that has to go to into UK. London.
Yeah, London.
Like, all right, so I'm going to lock you down here so there's no witnesses. And his pet octopus would help him shred documents.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. All right. Mystery solved.
It was what he used for ink.
Ah. Well, those are, well, I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
What?
Say those are squid, but
no,
it's octopus.
All cephalopods.
Yeah.
Not all cephalopods have it. All cephalopods group have the ability to produce some kind of ink or gel or slime.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. But yeah, I don't, I mean, as far as the portal thing goes and
that's, so let's
talk
about
ritual magic.
The dark ritual magic first. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think of that with like a demon or an entity being attached to the place, whether willingly or unwillingly as a guard?
100%. Through one, your experience.
Yeah. I mean, yes, literally. That's, I think that may just be on Patreon because there are people still alive involved with that.
Right.
With the dark side of it.
Right. And we knew that that existed in your house. I mean, you've seen the thing.
Yeah.
So there's one thing to it. But then you got like Crowley and the, what is Ham? What word?
Lamb.
Lamb, ham, lamb, whatever.
It just reminds you of that.
Reminds me of what?
That black lady singing. I got beans, greens, tomatoes.
Potatoes, ham.
Lamb.
Oh, dogs and cats. Do you know she says like dogs and cats and things like that at the end there?
No.
Yeah, so she's not specifically talking about food.
Yeah, that just makes me laugh.
But I didn't know when I first heard the whole thing. I'm like, because I thought she was. And then she said that stuff. I'm like, what kind of church is this?
What kind of church is this? No, so... yeah, demon guarding.
Yeah. I mean,
Lamb. Lamb was a weird entity. But at the dark cabin and stuff like that where Lamb resided, there were other entities in there.
Hmm.
And they talked about that, you know, with the Loch Ness and Crowley, that one of the entities looked like the modern day Loch Ness monster.
That's weird.
And when he had his castle there on the Loch, that maybe he let one out there. So there could be, I don't think this is the same year as Crowley whatsoever, but. Maybe another Crowley-like figure
let
one of these things out, and this now they live here.
What if it was a failed homunculus?
There you go.
And it escaped into like the recesses of the house.
He just lives there.
And he just can't get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a homunculus. You can't create, or you can't destroy them.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
So, the next kind of thought is, this is an interdimensional animal, or animals. The varying forms of these are just things from, there's a portal in or around the house somewhere.
Somewhere on the second story, I'd guess.
That, and then a lot of these things were seen in the basement and the attic.
Yeah.
So the attic would normally are hot and dry.
Yes.
The basement in this house was always damp and cooler.
Okay.
So what if those are environments, let's say there is a portal and these are just interdimensional animals, you know, cephalopod body styles are just, you know, preferable wherever they're at. What if those are the areas, the portals on the second floor or whatever, and those are just the areas that suit these things better? Going into the basement where it's wet and, you know, cool, or into the attic where it's hot and dry.
So you mean like one or the other?
Yeah, because that's where they were seen a lot. So what if the entities, because there's various reports of these entities, huge and small, big, like everything from giant slug-like things,
yeah,
to hybrids of octopus and crab, to just like living clouds,
I guess,
and moving like groups of shadows.
I don't understand what you're asking me with.
No, these are just a myriad of animals pouring in from another dimension.
Oh, so it's not just one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now I understand. Okay, I mean, why not?
And then they just die.
Die, or they, maybe when they come through, it's like that movie The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
They have a shorter lifespan.
That, or, you know, he, when he teleported or moved from one to the other, so, you know, a dimension from one to the other. And if you're with something else when you go through, you kind of morph together.
Yeah.
Like a weird blob.
Yeah.
Like an amorphous blob thing. So, I mean, I don't know.
There's always ghosts, specters, or phantoms, whatever those are. With all, like we already just said a minute ago, with all the horribleness that's happened in this house.
Yeah.
There could be just something like that that's feeding upon the darkness.
Well, and very related to our... Well, Wednesday of this week episode coming out in a couple days. Something where a lot of trauma could cause something, some bad energy to stick around, some bad voodoo. That's what I call it, voodoo. I don't know why it's funnier to say that way. Jimmy said it once at the bowling alley, you put the voodoo on me, because he can't say words right sometimes. So I've adopted that form of voodoo.
Mm.
It's more enjoyable to say. But yeah, anyways, it's bad voodoo.
So another theory is that this is an actual octopus.
Okay. Oh, like the Pacific tree octopus?
Yeah, like that. No, that this, so the Thames, Thames River, however you say it.
Thames?
Thames or whatever.
Yeah, T-H-A-M-E-S?
Yes.
Yeah, Thames.
Especially these old buildings in the 1800s. Uh-huh. A lot of times the sewer system directly connected to the river.
Yeah.
Sea life would come up the river all the time. Whales have even been seen up there in olden days.
So you're, wait, hold on.
Now, let me finish this thought.
Okay, please do.
I'm not saying there's an octopus climbing around the house or nothing like that.
That's what I thought you were getting at.
What I'm getting to is there could be some gelatinous forms of sea life that have ended up in the basement. Because the basement, depending on which description in the 1800s, literally had sometimes feet of water in it.
Yeah.
From the river.
Sure.
So what if that's what started this whole story? Is a giant sea slug or a cowrie or a some of these other, you know, just big gelatinous animals from the river or the ocean.
Okay.
Maybe even an octopus had ended up through the sewer system there.
Okay.
And that started that you were scared in a basement in a haunted house, and you've seen this gelatinous thing crawling on the floor down there.
Yeah.
And you freaked out, and that's kind of what spawned the story.
But then, okay, so you're suggesting maybe the deaths and stuff, you know, on the second floor, did those happen?
So with like the two sailors, that's the most famous one.
Yeah.
Two sailors that died, or the one sailor that died.
Yeah.
There is 50 different versions of that story published in papers.
Okay.
I have no proof it's real.
Gotcha. So it could be like Weekly World News stuff.
Or yellow journalism at the time.
Yeah.
Where they just wanted to print a scary story to sell papers.
Right, yeah.
Even quote unquote renowned papers would do that stuff.
Still do.
They still do.
Still do.
So
every day,
let's say there's a bit of truth to it, and they actually did see a gelatinous creature.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, freshwater gelatinous creatures.
Well, what are those things called in the sewers that, like, the cyanophores?
No, good guess. A ligakete worms.
Yeah, ligakete worms.
So that's one thing, too. It could be a giant. So a ligakete worms will ball up and actually look like giant masses of carpeting or brains.
Right.
And when they're distressed. So it could be that. A big pile of something like that, and a ligakete worm pile. They react to light. They move and slosh around. It's millions of little worms, but when they hook together, they act like one thing.
Right.
And it's a defensive mechanism because they'll unfurl and go about their own business. Yeah. But when they're scared or they feel a predator coming, they just lock onto each other.
Like, you ever seen, I think it was beehives, where the bees are all connected together, and they almost look like one big
thing,
vibrating thing, yeah. And so they move in like weird patterns and waves.
What have they seen that thing from the sewer down there in the basement?
Okay, and then just let their mind wander.
Because Columbus had a big problem, and it could be another thing like a slime mold.
Columbus.
A massive slime mold. So Columbus, Ohio had a problem where slime molds were crawling out of the drains of people.
Wow.
And we had it happen at our office that I worked at. And it literally was a giant green, yellow, amorphous blob that was crawling.
And people say, you know, oh, no, food we eat's fine.
That was out of the drains, though.
Oh, okay.
That was the other end of the water system.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
No, but, like, people's basements and stuff.
Yeah.
They just, was it whatever the colony, the type of thing was.
They'd get in there.
It was really big, and it would come out literally during night or when you turn off the light. It would start crawling back in when you turn on the light.
Oh, that's so weird. That'd be awesome to see, though, kind of. I wouldn't want it in my house, but I'd like to see it.
So what if there's something like a giant slime mold down there or whatever? In the sewer systems, but they react to light sometimes.
Crawling around the house.
So you have your lantern or whatever down there, and it just furls up.
Yeah.
And you're like, what was that?
Right, yeah. I mean, I would react probably oddly.
Another thing, the rumor was just fabricated.
All of it?
Mm-hmm.
What, to sell rooms?
At the exact opposite.
Huh?
So,
there's
some
out.
History... that there was actual counterfeiters held up in the house.
Okay.
So people printing fake money.
Okay.
People using the house as a legal business opportunities. So that those people had made up the horror stories.
Keep people.
And fed the stories about the dead sailor and stuff into the police to keep people away.
Mm.
And then it took on a life of its own.
You can totally see that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out at all. as being the option. I mean, some of the story does seem a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
Like the landlord, you really shouldn't stay there. But if you do, well, first give me your money. All right, now that you're staying there, here's this bell and a gun. You know, stuff hits the fan, ring this bell, and I'll be right there. Don't you worry. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems odd. Seems a little fabricated to me.
Yeah, and there's a lot there to it. But counterfeiters, there's also been a lot of people that pointed out that the tales of 50 Berkeley Square bear a strong resemblance to a fictional work, such as the story of a sailor, which was thought to have likely come to from a story by the author of in the 1870s named Elliot O'Doyle.
Oh, I know him.
O'Donnell? O'Doyle?
I don't know.
O'Donnell. So there is stories that were written around the same time that are similar.
Similar, okay.
Whether a chicken or egg kind of deal.
So
did he hear the story and then write a book about it?
Right.
Or did he write a book and then somebody started the story?
Was it a book he wrote about it or?
It was in one of his books.
In one of his books, okay.
So it wasn't the whole book wasn't about it, but it was a part in a book.
Gotcha, okay.
So, you know, that kind of chicken or egg thing.
Right, which came first.
Mm-hmm. But there's a big point that this is just an expensive, like a wealthy, fancy area. And this house just said abandoned for extremely long stretches.
Yeah.
And people just started making legends.
To it.
Yeah. And like, that's what we do. That's what humans do. Yeah. It don't matter where are, what race, what country. If there's a house that sits abandoned for long enough, there will be a witch that lives there. There will be a monster in the basement. There will be, you know, vampires that lure people in.
If there's a niche, something will fill it.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a vacuum.
It just happens to be whoever owned this building kept it empty for whatever reason.
Well, probably tax reasons. It gets back to taxes.
And
it's a tax write-off.
It just started building its own story. And it, you know, once the story took off, you know, people start talking at the bar. Well, I have a buddy that met one of the sailors.
Right.
And then, you know, so you tell that to a newspaper journalist, hears it and all that.
And of course he's going to write it because, you know, this is back in the day. I mean, now, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. We'll let those other guys handle it.
I'm like, I think I see him at the door.
Yeah, they're ready to get in here and start recording.
Another one I have is it was a prank.
All of it? Just on the guy or on everybody?
One of the original guys. The war landlord boys. Was in on it. A war boys.
Yeah.
That it was an octopus. A dead octopus from the fish market that they'd put in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
Or even a live octopus from the fish market they'd put in one of the rooms. And he had seen it and freaked out and either actually had a heart attack or ran away, you know, freaking out. And that kind of started the story of this slithering monster.
Right, yeah.
Because that happened. Because this is the home of eel rope.
What's that?
It's a sport. It's banned now. I think it was London. It was somewhere in the UK where they would hang a eel from a rope over the river and you'd have to run up and try to grab it and you'd win the eel, essentially, like a conger eel.
That sounds like fun.
It started, I can't remember the history, but yeah, it was a sport that people really enjoyed.
Hmm.
So pranks with sea life in London, they eat tons and tons of sea life.
So well, yeah, they're an island.
Yeah. It's an island nation. Yeah. Already talked spooky story and we talked about sea creatures sneaking in, interdimensional portals, demons. Last one is I seen a couple people say that it's an alien, that there's UFO activity around the same times as some of these 18 and early 1900 reports.
Okay.
That there was lights in the sky were seen the same nights. Or within the same, like, days of the same night.
Okay.
Kind of deal. It's so long ago, and it's so fragmented, and I don't even know if half these encounters are real.
Yeah.
That I have no proof of this. That would not be one I would put my hat on.
Right, yeah. That you throw in the category real.
But this would be one of those things that I'd say an alien is more apt to look like.
Okay.
An undescribable creature.
Well, and the thing is, what I was thinking is, being interdimensional, yeah, like you said, undescribable, or our brain can't interpret.
Yeah, it's having trouble.
So it just kind of,
several of the witnesses, that their best description is kind of like an octopus, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best they could get. Like, and you see some of the drawings of this thing. People have trouble drawing it even, where it's halfway between a stingray, a crab, an octopus, and this flying spaghetti monster.
And Jabba the Hutt.
There's some of those.
And Pizza the Hutt. Might as well throw him in there too.
Pizza the Hut. But there is that, how I believe about aliens, this would be kind of fitting that vibe, you know, as a, yeah. Does not look like it's supposed to be here.
A different biosphere.
Biosphere.
Had to reach into the bag and get that word.
But like you said, interdimensional, you know, that
kind interdimensional of biosphere.
Yeah, fit the same, you know, thing where it just does not look like it looks like it's alive.
Right.
But not Earth life.
Right, yeah.
It's different enough to be, well, there's some parts that like we can kind of recognize and other parts can't even tell.
When it comes to things like that, I do wonder if it's things getting mashed together, like DNA mashed together and creating these abominations.
I mean, I like what you said about
The Fly.
Yeah. The Fly.
The movie The Fly.
Now I lost my train of thought.
Okay. You said you liked what I
thought, but now it's gone.
Okay, sorry.
I was gonna give you a compliment and you ruined it.
Yeah, well, man, I thought that's what you were talking about.
It's gone. I must have
interdimensional
liked it that well.
Like travel or interdimensional mashup of-
Nope. Gone. You lost it.
All right, fair.
This is just a weird one that's always hung around. And there is in America, there is a story of a similar creature. It struck me odd. There is a well, and I think it's Indiana or Illinois, that this creature was seen coming out of. Hmm. And the best way the lady could describe it is halfway between an octopus and a crab.
Interesting.
And some of the drawings are exactly the same, and it was another 1800s one.
Yeah.
Just this odd entity. Well, maybe they are just cave creatures.
Or what if this is back in the day when, you know, everything was painted, you know, lead paint.
There was a lot. Well, I mean, the Mad Hatters was the 1700s, I believe, but not 18.
That was still.
But no, there close was enough. Lead was used in cans in the 1700s as a sealer. And it caused a lot of cannibalism on some voyages.
Oh, yeah. Or what if it's just, yeah, properties like that or some chemicals in the house that are messing, getting in, breathing it in and it's making you hallucinate.
We're not smarter because we're still doing the same thing right now.
Or if there's a gas leak, something, and you stay in there for a few hours, you start hallucinating, seeing these weird things.
You start seeing an octopus crawling on the walls.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've seen some weird things, I guess not under gas influence, but sleep-deprived hallucinations.
Oh, yeah, and you ran over that bear.
And there was a bear. Well, I didn't see the bear. I saw the guy
on the bike.
Yeah, we ran him over. But
made it do a murder.
Yeah, a shadow guy, a shadow person. We murdered a shadow person, but he voluntarily laid down the road. So I don't know what you'd even call that.
You knew you were going to murder him.
It was weird.
Trying to pray before he died.
Yeah. No, it was weird. That was a weird one.
There's a lot of these I've been getting into recently where it's just hard to validify any of this. So much. I mean, I love the 1800s and 1700s stories of monsters, but you just can't anymore.
Well, no. And thinking about now, too, modern day.
You can't. You
know, we write all this stuff out. I mean, just say stuff that happens today, like phenomena, weird phenomena. We write it down on, I don't know, a Reddit post, or you write it down on some online blog, or you write it on your notes in your iPhone. The second we lose electricity or we can't access technology, all of those stories are gone. Every single one. One generation, two generations online, three generations, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone or it's changed so much. But hey, you know what? Let's just keep pushing away from paper and pencil. Let's make sure the kids in school have their tablets they can all study on and learn from. And blackboards, we don't need that. We need smart boards.
I can't even read or write.
Well, that's not good. But it's better than, I don't know. You get what I'm saying, though.
I'm just picking on you.
So with this 1800 years, I mean, it could have happened. But yeah, like you said, as time goes on, we lose less or we lose more and more. And we retain less and less of the actual source. So I don't know. Where are we heading in the future after where we're at right now? Look ahead 200 years and try to recall something.
I agree with you.
What was it?
Is that, you know, our brain's having trouble perceiving these things.
Oh, yeah.
So let's say it is real. And it's just like you said, the octopus is one of the weirdest body shapes that a human deals with as far as alien to us. As in, you know, they're very strange. They're very intelligent. They're wonderful, amazing creatures. Mm-hmm. But every part of their anatomy, besides like the eyes, when you look at an octopus eyes, you know that's in an eyes.
Right.
But every other part, it's just so alien to
foreign,
us.
Foreign, yeah. I mean, it's got a beak for crying out loud.
So, it's, yeah, and they look weird too. A venomous beak.
Yeah, it's weird.
A venomous beak. So the octopus idea in your head, maybe, like they said, you know, octopus, but not.
Right.
You know, it's just because that's the best thing your brain can put forward is that it's weird looking. So octopus.
And that maybe that's the only word we can even think to describe. It's the only thing that'll pop in your head.
You see some of that stuff in like Cthulhu and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the indescribable Cthulhu just drives you mad if you look at it.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, before H.P. Lovecraft, because I think he was the early 1900s.
I can't remember.
So this is a little bit before, you know, when we're talking 1880s.
But it is an oddly familiar tale.
Yeah, you know, this is straight up some H.P. Lovecraft stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this indescribable thing, monster causes death and madness in man.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, looking into the abyss and the abyss is looking back and you, it's monsters. So I don't know. What are you going with if you had to pick one?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to pick that it's probably not real.
Really?
Yeah. That's just, it's this is probably one of them tall tales. But that, but if it is real, probably is some like interdimensional abomination. I don't know. That's why when they shot at it, it's just, there's nothing. I don't know.
I'm pretty much in the same boat. I don't think most of these happened. I think this is a story. It took on a life of its own, and a lot of he said, she said kind of stuff started happening. I know my brother knows the guy that met the sailor kind of deal, you know, and the story just grows.
And his cousin told me all about it.
I do think there may have been something real to the original start, but we know every time that something scary happens, it's going to be blamed on satanic stuff. It's going to be the occult. There was a guy in robes going in and out of there every 6 months on the clockwork. Yeah. How would we even know that he locked... You didn't even say that. How would we know he locked the old couple in the basement?
True, yeah.
Who knows he would lock himself in the room for hours?
Right, yeah.
Who told that?
Right, exactly.
I was waiting for you to question me on that because you questioned me on other stuff.
Oh. I guess some stuff I just roll with it.
Like, how would that detail ever get out?
The old people.
He just locks us in the basement every 6 months.
And the journalist, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good beat.
Yeah. But no, I'm going to go that maybe there was like the prank thing. Yeah. There was some evidence for that this was a prank.
Yeah.
And then that took on a life of its own. Some weird form of life in the basement from the sewers, whether it's a bunch of alligator worms in a pile.
Yeah.
Or even a sea slug had gotten it, you know, just enough to be odd looking. But, you know, weird enough to be like, you know, freak you out a little bit.
And I'm sure there wasn't too much, textbooks and stuff and with pictures of alligator worms for them to
I'm sure there was. In the 1880s, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think the average day sailor or public would either know or have access to that.
Yeah.
But there were books that had those.
Okay,
there's still books from the 1700s that have biological descriptions.
Okay, fine. Never mind.
That are being used today, I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because that was before they lied about everything. Well, who knows when that started.
I mean, there's the whole 150 missing years.
Wow, that's for a different show or a different episode.
Yeah. But that's it. I'm going, it's most likely didn't happen. Or if it did happen, it was a prank or some kind of sea life. And then the story took on a life of its own. Because it hits all the hallmarks of every, besides the entity itself.
Right.
Hits all the hallmarks of every haunted house in town.
Right, exactly. Yes, it does. And when it, I don't know. We've been to those places. We've been to the quote unquote haunted places, and they all have the same stories and the same history. And yeah, they're very haunted, quote unquote haunted.
Come
visit them. Give them a few bucks because they probably need it.
They do need it.
Yes.
Leave us a comment if you're listening on Spotify. What you think, if it's real or not, and just tell us what you think. Leave us a 5-star review. We got time. I have been. The great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 100, 100, 100, 100.
And we'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay Clones
and more from Mr. E,
There's always extra content on Patreon.
And our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.